This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Karnick, North Dakota is where we're at. I'll say it one more time. Karnick, North Dakota. If you're saying, where is that? I feel sorry for you, number one, because you haven't been here before. And number two, I'll tell you, so you no longer have to ask where Karnick is. Hannaford is a suburb of Karnick. So do you know where Hannaford is? You know where Hannaford is. We get calls from Hannaford and the area here. Does that help, Don, if I tell you that Hannaford is a suburb of Karnick?
It should, but...
Okay, good. Good. Yeah, kind of between Jamestown and Valley City, but to the north. North a little bit. The Ashtabula Lake is right here, Ashtabula Lake, and the Ashtabula Wind Farm is here, which is one of the reasons we're here today. North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions. Our sponsor for today's broadcast, live and on location. One of the things that I've heard from a number of listeners that are not a fan of the wind development in the state is that they make noisy neighbors. And, you know, okay, you say it's your land, and it is your land. But if over on my land I can hear your windmill, I don't like it. So I asked, could we go and actually hear it? I want to understand what people are hearing and what is bothersome. So we're going to do that. And by the way, if you feel like you've got an example of that and you want us to hear a different one, we'll make plans to come your way too. I just like answering questions from the listeners or things that come up. So we're going to do that. We are located today at Dennis Haugen's location, right here, as a matter of fact, General Grain. And General Grain has portable grain dryers. Dennis can tell us a little bit about that when he comes on and joins us a little later. And he also has about 5 miles from his business, the first of the windmills, so the turbines. So we're going to check that out today on the program, okay? We'll talk with him. We'll talk with folks from North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions, including Tammy Eibach and Bob Harms coming up on the show today. A couple things in the news I want to talk about. One, the legislature's in its final days, and we obviously spent a whole hour yesterday with Ed Schaefer going over a couple of things related to the session and things that were happening. Enjoyable conversation on many different fronts, and we found an engine for his army surplus, so we're glad about that. The power of radio. You need something, you just say, hey, I'm looking for this, and somebody's going to come up with it. But I wanted to ask you about a couple of things. One, the House in the North Dakota legislature is in need of voting on the Presidential Museum and Library project for the Theodore Roosevelt National Park. It is passed over in the Senate. The governor obviously has proposed this for some time. The House needs to vote on it. They had a committee meeting yesterday, and they wrapped the funding of the Teddy Roosevelt National Park up into an issue related to Governor Burgum's salary. And as you may remember, Governor Burgum, like President Trump, has said, look, I'm not doing this job for the salary. Therefore, I don't want the salary. And you know how difficult that was for him to say, I don't want my salary? Ridiculous. Now, which tells me we may have a giant swamp in Washington, D.C., but we have a swamp of our own in Bismarck, North Dakota. There's a swamp along the Missouri in Bismarck Mandan. Maybe it's a mini swamp. I won't give it the full credit swamp that we have out there. Find a way. This is just pettiness. This makes no sense. And I'm here to tell you, and I asked Governor Schaefer about this yesterday. And while he acknowledged it happened, he said that it happens, with every governor. I think it's worse with our current governor. I think there was a level of, and Governor Schaefer put it on the campaign. In other words, Governor Burgum ran saying, look, I'm a business leader, not a political leader. Get in there, roll up my sleeves, and do it differently, and not be part of the good old boy network. Whoa, the screams and howls and hooting and hollering from that. And, you know, I understand it if you're in the middle of it, if you think, well, they're talking about me and I don't like that, whatever. But it's a campaign, right? It's a campaign. No matter if you liked it or if you didn't like it, guess what? It's over. It's behind us. It's in the rearview mirror. The North Dakota people said, we like this guy. We like him overwhelmingly. He's there. Now you can work with him or you can work against him. And I believe far too many are working against him. And if the reason was legitimate political differences, I believe this. This is what I believe in every fiber of my being. I stand for this, and you're over there. Fine. Who can argue with that? I can't argue with that. I do it every day. I have a belief set. I have a, you know, guiding principles and values that inform every decision I make. And if I run across something I disagree with, I'm going to say it. That's fine. I don't think that's the case. In the vast majority, like the salary. I mean, look, if a governor decides not to take a salary to make a point that he's not about taking a salary, and he's, by the way, donating it, what do you care? Facilitate that. He was elected by the people, making that promise.
And willing to take that much public money right off the top. Who's arguing with this?
Well, it's totally the principle. It's not, you know, the money's insignificant in the grand scheme of the North Dakota budget. But you're right, Todd. It's money, and you ought to you. But my point is this: he won saying he was going to do this. I didn't hear any legislator said, "By golly, if he wins, I'm going to make sure he doesn't give his salary back." I tell you what, that's what I'm going to run on. You know, that salary, he needs to take it, and he can't be giving it to charity. Are you kidding me?
Is this like the Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum?
Is this like junior high girl games? Or what is this? I mean, you can't make it up. And it's ridiculous. I think that a little bit about the presidential library as well, because the governor is obviously, I think the governor has been very clear from the beginning that this was a priority project. He brought forward his ideas for the Legacy Fund and the legislature's idea for the Legacy Fund, with the exception of Craig Hedlund. I didn't necessarily agree with the source, but I certainly agreed with his idea of let's eliminate the income tax in North Dakota for the following reason. It'll prevent it from being spent. You know, we have a legacy fund. What do they do with that? Hide it. Hide the earnings. A little over here, a little over here. Let's take $200 million for the general fund so we can spend it on our... You know, so those kind of games are going on all the time. Don't like it. I absolutely don't like it. And... Again, when you have a conference committee sitting down, trying to decide the difference between the Senate version and the House version, and you've got Bob Martinson, Jim Schmidt, and Mike Schatz walking out. And by the way, I know these guys, Bob and Mike, more than I do Jim, but, you know, these are people that are come on. You know, it's just getting to the point where now you're looking really petty. Get in there, figure out the differences, and get it done. And I think a lot of people don't like the idea of the library, not because they don't want a $50 million to leverage $100 million in private money, not because they don't want somewhere, somehow, a facility like this to be built in North Dakota. What they want is for the governor not to get what he wants. It's no way to run a railroad. It really isn't. And I'm telling you, folks,
Washington,
it's going on.
Washington with the wall?
Washington with the wall.
Like Washington.
Oh, you're talking about the border wall.
Yeah,
for some reason I was thinking Vietnam wall, but yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, although that's a little different, because in that case you got a number of Democrats who like those illegal immigrants slipping in and joining society and becoming voters ultimately, right?
True.
So there's a little bit of that, but there's certainly also the part that, you know, if he wins on the wall, it's a political victory for him, and we don't want that. I would hope Republicans don't want to prevent a political victory for the governor, because guess who helps them get elected? You know, legislators benefit mightily from Governor Burgum and ads and everything else. Go back and look at, the vote totals. I just think it's a level of pettiness that you're not one of us, and, it's your idea, not our idea. And I'm just publicly saying I think that should end. That's all. And if you disagree with me, that's fine. Now, mind you, there are going to be things the governor wants that the legislature is going to reject on sound reasons of saying, no, we don't do it this way, or we want more reserve here, or we want priorities over there instead. Fine. That's part of the process. You have that out. This is transcending that. It really is. And I've heard it from legislators. I've heard it from legislators who say they don't dare meet with the governor because other legislators will rib them. I mean, come on. Again, this is like grade school girl games. It's really getting ridiculous. So my take, and I welcome yours at 258-0550, 701-258-0550. Our toll-free telephone number is 800-228-0550. Text Todd, 701-226-8503, or me at 701-367-2054 with your comments. Couple other things to talk about in the news. How about Bernie Sanders? I have the clip. I'm going to play it for you. Do you think that someone that is, say, convicted of a murder is put in jail for a very long time, if not the entire life, should have the ability to vote? Bernie Sanders does. Leading candidate for the presidential nomination does. Do you? And can you help me understand why Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton both yesterday, in statements related to the Sri Lanka massacre, Easter Sunday massacre of Christians, worshiping in Catholic churches, evangelical churches, churchgoers at brunch after being murdered, has been, I would argue, dismissed by those two as being a sad attack on Easter worshipers. What is an Easter worshiper? You like worship an egg or...
Printhanol is important to agriculture and all of North Dakota. Jody Hoff, Richardton, North Dakota, tells us about the community impact from the Richardton ethanol plant.
It's been a fantastic impact. This whole region of North Dakota seen corn acres increase, simply put, a lot over the last 10, almost 12 years since Red Trail's been operating. High percentage of their distiller's grain is in the wet or modified form, which is shipped, you know, directly from the plant to feedlots for cattle feed. And in this part of North Dakota, that's a big deal. When you look at corn, and basically you look at the corn basis, we have a nice low basis here in Richardton for where we're at, western North Dakota. Yes, we're getting top dollar because of the low basis, and we have the benefit of only trucking it maybe 5, 10, 30 miles if you're, you know, happen to be that close to Richardton. But guys definitely come from 100 miles away, too.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities like Richardton, North Dakota. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
I said, Jim, I want a flag put on my yard, but I said, I do not want foreign material. I'm not afraid to pay the price to get the stuff that's made here. You're offering that. I don't have the time myself to put it up. I believe you were the reason I was listening that day, and you came on, and I made the phone call, and it worked out great. Jim, this is what I have been looking for. Somebody that's patriotic like I am, that you're not out there doing it just because you want the money. You believe in what you're doing.
American-made flags and flagpoles installed by an American patriot. Call Jim at 701-571-FLAG or visit ndflagpoleguy.com today.
Hi, this is Kevin Pfeiffer with Pfeiffer's Auction Company. Pfeiffer's upcoming land auctions include crop, pasture, and hunting land auctions in McLean, Kidder, Stutzman, Barnes, Griggs, Grand Forks, Hettinger, and Lemoore counties in North Dakota, Clay, Norman, and Manoman counties in Minnesota, and farm and construction equipment retirement auctions in Bowman, Hazleton, Bentley, and Fort Yates, North Dakota. For complete information, call Pfeiffer's 877-700-4099 or view all auctions at Pfeiffer's.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Dakota, first broadcast ever from Carnac. We love coming to communities for the first time. That is fabulous. I've been to Hanford, so that's kind of an old hat. That's the suburb of Carnac, but I've never been to the big city of Carnac, and really it's something. I'm really enjoying it. We're going to talk about a little bit about life incarnate here coming up with Dennis Haugen. We're going to talk with Tammy Einbach, Bob Harms, a little bit about where we're broadcasting today for North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions, and that's a wind farm. The Ashtabula Wind Farm is just a little bit to the west of us, east of us here. So anyway, that's coming up in a moment. Right now I want to tell you about great history. History that started really in 1908. H.A. Thompson & Sons was founded by Harry Abbott Thompson. He'd come here from Maine in 1883 with his family. By the way, that was before North Dakota was North Dakota. How about that? He actually was Bismarck's first fire chief in 1901. So what started then, all these many years later, over 100 years later, is now a go-to source for high-quality plumbing, heating, air conditioning, and mechanical contractor services, not only Bismarck Mandan, where it started, but all of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and Montana. I talk often about the link service contracts they offer, which allows you as a building owner, as a manager of a building, to have a cost-effective environmental maintenance program where you know the number every month, and H.A. Thompson & Sons takes the risk and keeps that operating for you. And about 600 folks, 600 different buildings taking care of that. In fact, major manufacturers in North Dakota. Find out more at hatandsons.com or call them at 701-223-3393. All right, a couple of calls came in during the break. Roll the first one there, Todd, if you would.
Yeah, good morning. You guys, you know, with your windmill stuff and your global warming stuff, with all these scams all the time, you and your government and big companies, nothing but scams on the American people. I don't know how you guys think. You know, you're going to save the world. Oh, we got to have windmills. We're going to save the world from global warming.
I don't recall ever uttering anything of the sort related to global warming. So I'm not sure who you're referring to when you say you guys. I don't know where that's coming from to the caller. Specific to windmills, obviously we are broadcasting today from a wind farm, so we were talking about that, and I guess some would connect, wind development to the issue related to global warming and have less of other sources. That doesn't come from this program. In fact, the group that is promoting wind energy is very active in saying we need all energy sources, comprehensive, meaning all of the above. So, and we promote that regularly here. That's every fiber of my being, I am of the opinion that, look, if I own a piece of land, and I decide that I want to lease that land for a wind tower and have revenue from that, and then somebody's going to come and string the power together, and then I should be able to do that. On the other hand, if somebody is next door and says, I don't want it, and here's why I don't want it, they should have the right to defend their property, too. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And ultimately, all of the above energy is something I think is the most realistic one, because if you look at our energy needs, just go look at the curve of what we need for energy right now, and then look where it's going, and then look at every energy source. And if you add them all up, we need those and a few more to meet the future needs of the power, the energy, power of our economy. So and as far as scams, I don't know what is scams in that, but if you want to call back and clarify, I'll be happy to. Fake companies, I heard you say, I just don't know what that all means. I really don't. Here's another call. Roll that.
Yeah, Scott. Yeah, I think it's steady because none of us want to throw $50 million into the Badlands. Really don't think it's quite all necessary. I don't know what you like about the state of North Dakota. You must hate it worse than anybody because you push harder to change the state and the makeup of it. Some of the appeal to the Badlands might be to leave it just the way it is. A lot of us like North Dakota the way it is. You seem to push to want to change it. Something fierce. If you don't like the state, leave it. But I do like your show, and I listen to you all the time. Thanks. Bye.
Well, that's very nice of you. It's like somebody just pounding the living tar out of you, and at the end say, yeah, you're kind of a good guy. I'm glad you listen, and appreciate that you have a difference of opinion here, and you want to talk about it, because that's what the show's for. I would just say I really can't think of an instance in which I want to change North Dakota. If that means not staying the same, I guess maybe I'm guilty as charged in that, you know, you're kind of at Buffalo Commons. I'm not in the wacky, way out there, extreme environmental, Dakota Resource Council mode at all. I'm not in the, let's call family farms, and keep them super tiny and, you know, poor me, I hope the government bails me out, farmers union argument either. I'm not. That's not who I am. Things do change. There is progress in agriculture. There's progress in other things. So, I don't know of other instances where I could say I want to change North Dakota. I don't even think the idea of being for the library is wanting to change North Dakota. For one, we have a Teddy Roosevelt National Park. It is in the Badlands. This library and museum complex would be at the entrance of the park. The Department of Interior is for that. They won't be forever. We have a small window to take advantage of that and make it part of that. We have a private effort that wants a Theodore Roosevelt Museum and Library somewhere. We have the opportunity to have it here, and if it's not here, it's going to be somewhere else. We lose that opportunity. The individuals that have said, look, we're willing to put $100 million of that into private money have said, what's the state's participation? Does the state want this, or does the state want just the federal government to do it because it's the park and private people to do it, or do you have some interest in bringing more people to your state? I don't think that's an unreasonable request, especially out of the out of the Legacy Fund, which in my mind, as someone that was part of the committee that helped pass it and advocate for it, was exactly this kind of project. That's just where I'm at. Is it a lot of money? Yeah. But it's not $50 million that, boy, if we didn't put it into the library, we'd put it into, you know, your back pocket. I'm not stealing from you. I'm not stealing from North Dakota. And I think if you ultimately see some of the architectural drawings, you'd understand this museum and library will be designed for the Badlands that it surrounds. It'll be at the entrance of the park, so it's a nice way to come to the park, which isn't so nice right now. You know, we have what the Painted Canyon Rest Stop that has basically got a couple of pop machines and a stuffed animal. I think I might have seen a rattlesnake a paperweight. My point is it's not exactly top shelf. Okay, now mind you, a lot of people go to national parks, and if you give them another amenity, our park, the only one named for a president, that would have a library in of the president's name. Named after at that park, could now be included in a little triangle of Yellowstone and Mount Rushmore, and you know, more people will come. More people will come to the musical. More people will come to Medora. That's a good thing. 14 of these with this proposal, so 13 operating, one other on the drawing board in the entire country. Don't you want things here that are unique, that are us? It's not some library where you go check out books. It's a presidential museum. I've been to 9 of them. I love them. Reagan's in Simi Valley. Nixon in Yorba Linda, California. George W. Bush at Dallas, Texas. They're not libraries. Just go online and check them out and see what kind of facilities they are. They are magnets from people who revere those particular presidents and who are just history buffs in general. Just another reason to come visit the park. Not a bad thing. And by the way, I don't think it's going to impact you very much. Right? I mean, if you don't like it, don't go in it. Just go buy it and go into the park. And, you know, that's all. It isn't, I don't think, that bad. My take there, I welcome yours as we continue through the program today on What's on Your Mind. 800-228-0550. More after this.
Here's what's in the news. At the University of North Dakota, UND President Mark Kennedy says it's about more than retention rates. While they're up, there's a bigger picture here.
Our focus is not just the freshman retention rate, but the sophomore retention rate and the junior retention rate and the senior retention rate. Because getting them to sophomore year isn't the goal. Getting them a degree in their hands. Average college graduate gets $1 million more lifetime earning than somebody that doesn't have a college grad.
Leaders in action at the University of North Dakota. Find out more at und.edu.
At the University of Mary, we consider your success to be our success. Complete your bachelor's degree, earn a graduate degree, or enhance your skills with a certificate while you excel in your career. Our evening and online classes are designed to fit the schedules of working adults. Classes start May 6th. Learn more at umary.edu/may. It's umary.edu/may. Or call the university at 701-355-8030.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Today's the deadline lawmakers set for the Internal Revenue Service to hand over 6 years of President Trump's tax records to the House Ways and Means Committee. Meanwhile, the House Oversight Committee wants years of his financial records. Yesterday, the president and his private business filed suit to try to block that. Legal analyst Andrew Napolitano says the lawmakers need to show a reason why they want these records.
They can't just get them because he's the president and because his predecessors have have exposed this type of material about themselves. They have to have a legitimate purpose. If they can't show that purpose, then they're going to lose. Then the subpoena will be quashed.
He was speaking on Fox News. As the death toll from the Sunday attacks in Sri Lanka reaches at least 320, ISIS is now claiming responsibility, although authorities are still blaming a local jihadist group there, which they say may have been inspired by ISIS. And this is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Are we back? Did I miss live? Okay, all right. All right, we're live. We're live. Hi, folks. I didn't hear it. If somebody said it.
Hey, so Scott, you're live.
Yeah. Scott Anna, Todd Mitchell, the program we call What's On Your Mind, live from the metropolis of Karnick, North Dakota today. That's right. Karnick, North Dakota, our location today. And before we chat with Dennis Haugen a little bit about life near a wind farm, I want to tell you about my friends at MBI Energy Services. They have got North Dakota energy jobs waiting for you. Let me take a look here. How about SuperVac truck driver? You got that skill? Killdeer, Watford City. Winch truck drivers, Killdeer, Watford City. Hotshot driver, Watford City. Flatbed truck drivers, Killdeer and Watford City. And Belfield, Killdeer, Ross, and Watford City have water truck driver needs. Diesel mechanics, waste management, water transfer, well intervention, workover rig floor hands and derrick hands. Listen, they're waiting for you, and they are a great place to work. That's the bottom line. MBI, energyservices.com, or call them at 844-MBI jobs. Back to our questions of the day, which I guess range from Bernie Sanders and murderers getting a vote and forgetting that we're a constitutional republic, as well as the pettiness at the legislature and what your thoughts are on the library and the governor's salary and whether or not you too, like some legislators in the House, are mad that he doesn't want to take a salary. Are you mad that he doesn't want to take a salary? Anyway, you can tell us all that as we continue throughout the program. Right now, though, I want to welcome Dennis Haugen to the program. Dennis, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Thanks for having us.
Sure.
We're at General Grain today in I call this really a, Karnick, to explain it to people that might not know where Karnick is, that Hanaford's a suburb of Karnick. Would that be appropriate?
Well, maybe it's the other way around.
Oh, is that right? How many people are in Karnick?
Well, it's we've got population of two here.
Oh, two? Okay, you're booming.
No, my cousin and his wife live across the tracks here. We actually live out in the suburbs between here and Hanaford.
I see, okay. All right, beautiful. And how many folks in Hanaford?
I don't know, 150 maybe?
Yeah, there you go. It is a beautiful, quiet, serene, wonderful part of North Dakota, isn't it?
We're getting close to spring planting. We're waiting for things to dry out. We got plenty of water standing around here. It's been a stinker of a winter, as it has been for everybody else, and hopefully the weather's going to start cooperating here so we can get some farming done pretty soon.
So what is life like under a windmill?
Well, not really different than anywhere else. We've got We've got an access road to the towers and a little plot where the tower stands, and that's about it.
Walk me back to the beginning. This is about 10 years old, this wind farm here?
Yeah, we're about 10 years old, 10 years into it, yeah.
And so when it was being constructed, what's it like? Talk a little bit about what was there before, what's here now, what do you have?
There was a lot going on. I mean, it's pretty amazing when they build these wind farms how fast they go up. I mean, these guys, they've been at it. They're pros at this stuff. This is what they do. They'll set up a headquarters area, a cement plant, and their plan of attack is when they start moving forward is basically an assembly line system for putting them up. You've got your ground prep crew that starts first, and roads, and then cement crews, and then erection, and it's it really goes fast when they put these things up.
You were telling me earlier that they built some nice roads, which came in handy because you didn't have those before, right?
Well, yeah, we're on the Pembina Escarpment here, right on the banks of the Cheyenne River, and this neighborhood here, that neighborhood where the towers are at per se, it's a little bit rough country, and we never had really good roads to access our fields and property, and now with wind farms in there, it's just another side benefit that we've got good access to our fields now. The farmers are granted free use of the service roads to the wind towers, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and that's a benefit.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Didn't cost you anything, and
nope.
You've got a road you didn't have before.
Right.
Yeah. How about you said earlier, just like any other place, but I mean, one of the reasons we're here is a listener call. We've taken a lot of questions on wind development, and we just sort of say anything, welcome. Just let us track down answers for you. And one of the things we heard was that it was noisy. That it was not only for the actual location where it was at, but also for neighbors. Do you find it noisy?
I don't. And, 10 years into it now, I mean, we've got all the people are still living where they live in that area. And we had a few naysayers, as you do with anything new coming into the area. But, 10 years into it, nobody's complaining.
And I would imagine that especially after a rough patch in farming with the prices and everything else, the steady revenue is welcome, huh?
Well, that's a nice thing. I mean, it's a nice revenue generator for the community. I mean, you throw up 25, 30 towers, and the tax base that comes off of them, plus the royalties to the landowners, it's a nice chunk of change.
So you'd do it again?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your operation here, General Crane.
Well, we farm in the area here, and back in the late 80s when times were tough, we started with portable grain cleaning and kind of grew that business. And in 2000, we bought this facility where we're at here today. It's kind of our headquarters, and 19 years later, here we are.
So is that still pretty unique on the portable grain cleaning?
There's more of them out there than people really realize. I think in the state last year there was probably 40 licensed certified portable grain cleaning plants. So they're out there. I mean, we've got competition just like any other business.
Yeah, sure. You, I said earlier, portable grain drying. You're not drying. You're cleaning.
No, cleaning. Yeah. Yeah. Seed processing.
Yeah. Yeah. And and that just came out of tough times. We got to innovate here. We got to do something a little different.
Well, it's everybody has to have seed, and bringing that processing right to the farm was, back when we started, it was people, really thought, well, why bother with that? We'll just take our ton of grain to the local elevator to get cleaned. Well, local elevators don't do that anymore. They just. With our shuttle loaders facilities and all that, those old elevators that used to do that seed cleaning have gone by the wayside. It's just been more business for us.
That's great. Ryan and Mercer has a question here for us on the program today, live from Karnick, North Dakota. Ryan, what's on your mind?
Just got a few comments on wind farms to consider. Up in Mercer County, they're currently siting a wind farm south of Lake Sakakawea. And there does seem to be a movement, and I don't know if there's any truth to it, to start siting these wind towers on top of lignite coal reserves, which has some conflict with comprehensive energy. If you understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah, are you saying that if they're sited on top of what would be coal reserves, then obviously you wouldn't be able to dig that out and get the coal and then reclaim it, because you probably wouldn't take the tower down and put it back?
There seems to be some people thinking that the environmentalists are using that as a tactic to start shutting down lignite, is to put the wind farms on top of the coal reserves. And then my second comment would be, I'm all for property rights as a being in agriculture, but it would be, I think there should be some legislation in that if you are going to have a wind tower on your property, that you should live in that county that that wind tower is. There's a lot of estate land. So you have a family that might own a quarter of land in North Dakota that lives in Ohio or Illinois, and they don't care if there's a wind tower because they're just getting the money, but they never have to see it or deal with it. So I think if you're going to have wind towers on your land and you're going to profit from those, you should have to deal with them also. That's just my comment.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. Thanks a bunch. Anything you want to say about that, Dennis?
Well, you know, when it comes to siting wind towers, I mean, companies like NextEra do the siting. I really struggle with there's any influence from the environmentalists on that. I don't know if I'd go along with that. As far as absentee land ownership, you know, that's something that's more and more common as people leave the farms. You know, we've got a lot of rented land, and to have that stipulation, that might be a struggle for, you know, future sightings, because just, you know, they want these towers in fairly close proximity to, you know, cut down on power lines and, you know, buried cable and you know, transmission of the power from the towers.
Interesting. Appreciate that. Dan in Fargo, you're next on What's on Your Mind with a question or comment. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I appreciate your all of the above factors for energy production. That's been a great theme you've had over the years, Scott. I live here in Fargo. One hole in the thing, though, to complete the picture, in my mind, is they never seem to consider nuclear. And I think when you're looking at the energy demands of electric cars and electric everything else nowadays, there is no way that we're going to be able to fulfill the energy draw and the needs, the charging stations. It's absolutely mathematically impossible to get the kilowatt production, megawatt production, without nuclear. And yet it never seems to be mentioned. It's like the ugly stepsister in the family. And it needn't be. There have not been nuclear accidents or the radiation scare stuff that they used to talk about. It's the safest, even including the extraction and shipment of the uranium fuel.
So, actually, the last time I remember it, the last time I remember it being discussed was Dwayne Sand, who is a nuclear engineer in the Navy, had brought that up as an option across the state. I know that Kevin Cramer, when he was Public Service Commission member, went to XL Energy and said, "Hey, why aren't you doing something in the nuclear space in North Dakota, or investing something?" So I think it has been discussed, but it doesn't seem to go anywhere. I'll give you that. That's for sure. But in my mind, all of the above means all of the above. If we can find a way there as well, and there's a lot of open space in North Dakota.
I think, like, the way you have provided background information on so many aspects of agriculture and mining and power production and so forth, I would just modestly suggest maybe you could begin to seed into your commentary once in a while the safety aspect of it and the reliability of it. We have plants that were built, before the Operation Desert Storm and before that. And we have General Electric for a while had to place all of their new plants overseas. They weren't allowed to build them in the United States.
Right, yeah, and yet it's clean. So it's another strange one with environmentalists. Good point, Stan, and we will. Thank you. More.
Hi, this is Troy from CNC Farms of Donnybrook. We're your registered and certified seed dealer. At CNC Farms, we pride ourselves in providing top quality and a wide variety of seed. We offer forage barley, oats, millet, 4010 forage peas, forage mexes, malt barley, flax, durum, chickpeas, green and yellow peas, spring wheat, winter wheat, alfalfa, pasture mexes, beans, and much more. Online at ccseedfarm.com, your registered and certified seed dealer of Donnybrook. Call CNC Farms, 701-482-7865.
It's time to visit your Northern Region New Holland dealer and see the latest over 100 horsepower tractors from New Holland. They use leading-edge EcoBlue engine technology for increased power, torque, and fuel efficiency, as well as Tier 4B emissions compliance. That's New Holland Smart. Choose from T7, Genesis T8, and T9 series tractors up to 620 rated horsepower. Explore the power of blue today at your local Northern Region New Holland dealer.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm North Dakota Soybean Council Director Dan Mockerbraddock. The North Dakota Soybean Council reminds soybean farmers to use soy biodiesel to pump up your bottom line. Biodiesel is a clean-burning, renewable fuel produced from domestic resources like soybeans. It can be used as a pure fuel or blended with petroleum at any percentage. Biodiesel can offer a number of performance benefits to your diesel engine, including improved fuel lubricity, prevention of premature wear and tear, protection against fuel injector and injection pump failure, less equipment downtime, and lower maintenance costs. Most importantly, biodiesel increases the value of soybeans by 63 cents per bushel. Farmers are encouraged to ask for and use biodiesel and diesel equipment. They're your soybeans. Put them to work for you. For more information about biodiesel, visit biodiesel.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Back on What's On Your Mind, live from, yes, it's true, ladies and gentlemen, first ever, Carnegie, North Dakota. We're here today on the program. Exactly right. Bob Harms is joining us now, along with Dennis Haugen. Dennis, part of the Ashtabula Wind Farm, board member for the North Dakota Grain Growers Association, and proprietor of Central Grain. General Grain. Yeah, where'd Central Grain come from? General Grain, I don't know. It says right here, General Grain. My eyes just went goofy on me. Yeah, I think I'm thinking of the folks in Carrington. But anyway, Glad to have you join us today on the program, and thanks for having us. We appreciate the hospitality.
No problem.
The cookies are, like, really, really good. Did you make those?
My wife did those. I've got to give her credit for that.
Wow, yeah, they're really, really good. And Tammy brought donuts from Bearcat. Is that what it's called?
Bearscat.
Okay, all right, very good. So we're loaded up with sugar today. So, Bob, one comment that came from one of the listeners related to an issue. He said, you know, I get private property rights, but, should there maybe be a provision that says you have to live on the land if you say it's okay to have a wind farm there? What would you say to that?
That's wrong-headed. I get the sentiment, but, all of North Dakota has been owned by our fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, and most of that property that's been divided up and is owned by so-called non-resident or absentee landowners, or most of them are former North Dakotans who live now, instead of in Tioga, they live in Bismarck, or they live in Fargo, or maybe they live in Billings, but the idea that that should apply for any energy development is not the right policy that we should follow as a state. As an example, should we do the same thing when it comes to renting farmland? Should the absentee farm owner, should somehow that policy apply to renting farmland or ranch land or anything else?
You're going to get into a bit of a slippery slope, and all of a sudden private property rights are gone.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that makes sense. Back to when this started. By the way, this is going on for 10 years. Was it controversial when they were talking about building it? Would you call it controversial?
You know, not really. It was, Ashtabula was originally started as a local project. So it was the local people in the area that, pushed for the development of this stuff. We had our local board of directors and developed this project, and then it was sold to NextEra.
And then Otter Tail Power ultimately is the distributor of the power, right?
Utility
here? Yeah.
Okay.
So, and now 10 years later, is it just here and you don't hear anybody saying anything other than, it's here and I don't have any problems with it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Good neighbors?
Yep.
Yeah. What kind of activity? I asked you that earlier as far as, things that happened when it was done just to construct that, but obviously you had a lot of people doing that. Did that provide a little bit of a boom when it was built?
Well, it always does. I mean, when you bring another 50 people or 100 people into a community, I mean, they have to live and survive and have their meals and, it was a nice little economic bump when they were putting it all together.
Interesting. Todd, do you have that call that came in a bit ago? We'll play that for Bob and Dennis, if he cares to comment on it, related to wind development. You want to roll that one?
Say, maybe you could check on something for me. Is it true that wind power gets top priority on the transmission lines? A gentleman that worked at a coal plant once told me that in the event the transmission lines are at peak capacity, they have to back power plant down to allow wind power, which is their competitor, to have first priority on the transmission line. That seems like an unfair advantage if that's true, but maybe you could check on that for me. Thank you.
Scott, I think it's a little close, but I would characterize it a little differently. The way that works is that the caller is right in the sense that wind has a higher priority in terms of being dispatched by MISO or SPP. So if you think about it, if there is a power across our 28-state region that's being managed by these two RTOs that we've talked about over the last several weeks, the cheapest power is dispatched first, and ordinarily that's wind. And so what happens is then if a coal-fired power plant is running at a certain capacity and there's not enough room on the grid for the coal-generated electricity and the wind-generated electricity, then the coal-fired power plant has to curtail. They have to dial down. That's correct. So maybe a little difference without a distinction, but I would say generally the caller's right.
This is an issue that concerns our friends in coal because of the plants not being designed to power down,
cycle up and cycle down rapidly. That's correct. That's an issue that they're concerned about, and I think with good reason. And that's an issue that FERC has been called on to address. Right now, I think FERC has said it's not really something we're going to pick up at the time being. We want to send it back to MISO and SPP and see if they can figure out how they can address that issue at a regional level.
Can wind power be stored, says another listener, asked another listener, rather.
No, not really. We haven't found the battery technology to store it efficiently. So the short answer to that question is no.
So that would probably be another reason there's some priority there, because if the wind's generating, you got electricity, you're going to take it, right?
Yeah.
And also, we have to be realistic about states like Minnesota. They like wind more than they like coal.
They do.
Yeah, and that's just something I think is crazy, but it is what it is.
It's the market we live in.
Yeah.
The market we compete in.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, more of these conversations a little later on. We have Bob Batami coming back to join us. Your questions, comments, welcome for them. We'll bring Dennis back in a little later, too, if you have any questions for somebody that lives underneath a wind farm, and we're going to go out and verify that it's not too noisy under those wind farms. We're going to do a little audio test today, Dennis. How about that?
We'll take a little road trip.
A little road trip. Exactly right. So stay tuned for that coming up on What? Come on. Don't go away.
Yes, it's Matt the Pizza Guy again for Pizza Corner Pizza. Oh, the sun is out, the temps are climbing, and spring is right around the corner. That means activities outside and quick meals, all of which translate well to Pizza Corner Pizza. Snag a Pizza Corner Pizza to toss on the grill and enjoy the goodness of quality toppings combined with loads of cheese on an Italian-style bakery crust. Got a schedule full of kids' commitment this week? No problem! Pizza Corner Pizzas are a hit for those quick meals on the run. Sausage and pep, chicken bacon ranch, taco, whatever the flavor, Pizza Corner wins. Fresh new look, same great taste. That's Pizza Corner Pizza.
North Dakota is rich with natural resources, fertile soil, oil, coal, natural gas, and wind energy. North Dakota has a lot of it, with wind farms in 27 counties. Renewable energy is an increasingly important part of an all-of-the-above energy strategy. The Public Service Commission should support wind development to move North Dakota to become energy dominant. Wind energy, good for you, our communities, our economy. Message brought to you by North Dakotans for Comprehensive Energy Solutions.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply.
They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.